This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfectly clear when you're a guest in my home. You gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Welcome to I Said No Gifts. I'm Bridger Weiniger. Oh, what's going on? Let's see. Well, I just lowered from the ceiling on the back of a kind of a giant animatronic bat. Kind of lowered from the rafters. I'm sorry you weren't here to see it. It's, you know, it's covered in like a gold tinsel. It's probably more glamorous than it is scary. But this is an audio format, so you don't get to witness that. You just get to listen, and I hope you will. I really love today's guest. I just think she's so fantastic and funny. Let's get into the podcast. Please listen. It's Lennon Parham.
God damn it, that was a spectacle. I didn't get to see Beyoncé, but I feel like I just did. Do you know what I mean?
That's kind of the experience I was trying to bring.
It was, I mean, you don't expect that. In a backyard, you know, on a hillside nonetheless.
And the thunderous applause.
Yes, where did that come from?
They had to kind of pull me back up into the rafters.
Yes, until that part I did feel fear for you, for the audience underneath you.
You were shushing people.
Yeah, I wanted to hear your personal noises because, you know, we've got that kind of crotch, you know, strapping to secure you. It really makes interesting noises come out.
It's squeaky.
Yes.
We forgot to oil it prior to the show.
Yes.
You were screaming, let him speak. I want to hear what he has to say.
Let him speak. That is generally just my MO. Let him speak. Let her speak. Let him speak. Let me hear their voices.
We need to hear what they have to say, whether they're on a bat or not. Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
Lennon, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I've had a scary morning.
What happened? I mean, other than the obviously aforementioned bat hanging.
Oh, no, I was totally calm about that.
Okay, got it.
You know, I've been training for weeks. But I noticed this bite on my elbow.
Okay, okay.
Which you can immediately see. And I'm just having you inspect.
Skeeter got you.
I don't think it's a mosquito.
No?
I think it's a spider.
Is it lifted? Is it raised? The bottom one is raised.
Let's see here, slightly.
You're probably have sensitive skin already, though, right?
Yes, very. So, but I have to imagine, because I do get the occasional mosquito bite, and
can
this
I
looks
touch
worse.
It?
I can't. Do you want to?
Let me see. Oh, it's raised.
Oh, it is raised.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
But the vein coming off the top, was that there prior?
This here?
Yeah. Is that
this
new?
Was not, this is new.
Okay.
This is not helping anything.
Do you normally get eaten up?
No. I mean, I'll get bites, but the mosquito bites for me usually last, the itchiness lasts about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'm fine.
Have you put anything on it?
I put a little cream on it.
Which one?
I can't remember the name.
Was it a Benadryl, a cortisone?
Yeah, I think it's a cortisone.
Okay.
And I took two Benadryl.
Oh, you did? When was that?
That was about an hour ago.
Okay, well, hold on. Pick up the pace.
No, this is about, you have nothing to worry about. Okay. Because actually, I was concerned about taking them because I have the opposite reaction to Benadryl.
What, you get jacked up?
I have. It's called a paradoxical reaction, and it makes me insane. It like really makes my brain go really fast.
Okay.
So, but it was early
enough
in the day.
That's like a Sudafed reaction, though, normally, right?
Oh, does that happen with Sudafed?
Some people, their heart starts racing if they take too much, and it's supposed to be a decongestant. But as we've seen from the FDA, like,
just as of this morning,
who knows what you're eating? Who knows what you're taking? If it's going to work, just, you know.
What was Sudafed doing for anybody?
It's a decongestant.
But it wasn't working, right?
Was that the one they said wasn't working?
I think so.
Well, it worked for me. If I had sinus pressure, you just take the lowest dose, and it makes that headache lighten up a little.
Just eases it slightly.
Because sometimes Tylenol won't make a dent.
Right. I'm more of an Advil guy. Okay, well, I'm on the Benadryl, which I...
And Advil?
No Advil.
Okay.
Just the cream, the Benadryl.
Yeah.
You know, I started thinking, is this going to be a situation where I have to go to the doctor? But it hasn't gotten worse.
That's good.
So we'll just wait
and see. Swelling in your face or throat, like
I don't know.
Yeah,
Annalise, how swollen do I look today? Annalise is saying absolutely swollen.
A normal amount of swelling.
Kind of insulting. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Did you wake up with it?
I woke up with it. Well,
you woke up
I
like
do
this.
Think I
Hashtag flawless Beyonce. Okay, yeah. It all comes back.
On my way to steal your man, this sort of thing. But no, we'll just see what happens. What was I going to say about it? Oh, the thing about mosquitoes, how long does a mosquito bite last for you, itchy wise?
Days.
Days. Okay,
yeah.
This is good to hear because I remember as a kid them lasting days, and now they don't anymore for me. So that was a real thing that happened.
Yeah,
it wasn't
for
my
sure.
imagination.
No, no. Some people have, like, I get, like, my skin, like, freaks out when I get a mosquito bite.
How so?
Like, they can swell up to be, like,
oh, no.
Like, golf ball size
so
or
you
larger.
Bug spraying all the time?
I try to stay on it. Once I get one bite, I'm like, I'm either out, like as in inside, or I'm like, we're all spraying down.
Oof.
Have you ever tried Skin So Soft? I don't
no,
even know if they
skin
sell
so
it.
So Soft.
So it was like was it a Mary Kay product? It was like,
Annalise is looking into it.
Yeah. So Skin So Soft.
Avon,
that's
Avon,
it.
Avon,
right. So it was like a door-to-door salesman kind of thing, and it was like, it's really good for mosquito repellent, but it's also sort of like a body oil, so
oh,
it makes you
nice.
Smell nice and moisturizes and repels mosquitoes.
That should be on store shelves.
It probably is.
Because
now.
Bug spray smells horrible.
Horrible.
Always ends up in your mouth.
Yeah.
Not for me.
And lungs.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, and citronella candles, what do they really do?
Simply nothing.
Nothing.
There's that one up there that's just been up there since I bought it,
it's
essentially.
It's just totally melted into the canister, I'm
sure.
It
has. The sun has just completely demolished it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter because it wasn't working anyway.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
They have those little things that plug in or get charged by the sun. Like there's a zapper one and then there's one that emits
like a diffuser.
Yeah.
Have you used either of those?
Yeah.
Do they work?
I don't really know.
That's the thing. It's always hard to say. It's like, well, I still got bit, but would I have been bitten more if it weren't for the candle?
Right.
How are you filling your days?
These days?
Yeah. It's an interesting time.
Yeah. It's a weird time.
Mm-hmm.
I have children.
Oh, that helps.
So I am doing a lot of parenting right now.
Are they in school?
They are. They just went back to school a couple of weeks ago. What else? I'm like having lunches with people. It's so exciting. I'm like I had a breakfast with a friend I hadn't seen in years.
That's nice.
Doing laundry, a lot of home care.
This mirrors my reality outside of taking care of children.
Yeah.
I'm slowly learning that you can do laundry more than once every, 3 weeks.
Yeah. It piles up so fast in our house that if I don't do almost a load a day, I'm effed.
A load a day?
Yeah.
That is a lot of laundry.
It's a lot of laundry. Well, you got usually two sets of clothing every day.
Right,
for
right.
four people. That's eight outfits.
Wow. And then all the socks.
Lights and darks. Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, you're having sheets coming in and out, towels.
Yep.
Once a day. And it's, I guess it's really not that difficult.
It's sometimes soothing, to be honest.
Right.
The folding part of it.
The folding is the hardest part.
I love folding.
Oh, you like the folding.
But I don't like the putting it away.
Right.
So I'll fold all day. It's so soothing to make it into the perfect little tiny rectangle like Marie Kondo style.
Oh, it looks so good.
Oh, it just is so
satisfying. Do you have a t-shirt folder?
No, I have great fingers.
Magic fingers.
I have magic folding fingers that should be licensed by the Container Store. But yeah, that part feels really good to me. And then I put it in a basket and then it just sits for days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I think you put it away. I folded it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But I've done 6-year-old 80%
of the
that.
Work. Come gather. For me, I just leave it in the dryer for extent. The dryer kind of becomes the closet
yes.
for a while.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But then so many things are wrinkled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do a load unless you're going to have time to fold.
Right.
Because otherwise,
it's you're going to have to do
you're
it over.
You're going to have to do it over.
Or iron.
No,
which...
no, no. Who does that? My husband does because he has like work shirts.
Oh, like dress shirts, this
yeah.
sort of thing.
He'll break out the iron. It's I don't know where we got this ironing board, but it is like from the 50s. It is honestly, it makes the same sound the bat made when you were lowered. It is so rusty, honestly. And our iron is, we had a regular iron, but then he bought like an old iron.
Okay.
Like it's new one, but it looks like an old one. It's like steel.
Almost kind of stylish.
Yeah. Not, I mean, it's practical.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a really good iron anyway.
But it's not like a white plastic.
No.
More of a, probably a professional's iron.
Yeah, it's a professional grade iron. Yes, for sure.
My ironing board makes the same screech. I hate opening it. I hate
yeah.
closing it.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to put it.
Yeah, where do you keep yours?
I keep it in our office closet, kind of just shoved in there.
Are there other laundry implements or cleaning tools in there?
In that closet, no. And even the iron is in a different place in the house.
Got it.
Because...
The board won't fit there?
Yeah, basically. But the iron probably could fit in the same closet as the board, but for whatever reason, I've decided they should be in separate areas.
Makes sense. But I mean, once you move it, your brain will take months.
Oh, I'll never learn again.
To reposition it.
And only probably in the last year or so have I learned how to efficiently close the ironing board with the little lever at the back.
Oh, yeah. What were you doing before?
I would
jump in on top of it. Surfboard style.
It would just take me forever. I would have to flip it on its back, search the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's this little, just basically the little twig you have to
yeah.
push.
Yeah.
So easy, but it took me years to learn.
Yeah, and you flip it over, put it on its, which again, it's like, it has a cover on it, so then you're dirtying the
yeah.
cover by putting it on your floor, right? And then you press the thing, then it flattens. It's just all so
it's
impractical.
A trap. But to be clear, I'm no longer flipping it. Just so people know, I'm at least at the point where I'm not flipping it completely on its back anymore.
You're not.
I'm just reaching under, I'm finding it.
Oh, excuse me.
It is deeply erotic. I mean, that's part of the problem.
Ooh, middle finger or what?
I'm getting sweaty. The ironing board doesn't know what to say. We're both just like, is this the time for us? But
yes.
I'm now pretty good at it.
Are you in a committed relationship?
We're on again, off again. It's
yeah.
we're seeing each other probably once every a month, you know?
Yeah.
And that's actually true. Because I'll get to, there'll be like one shirt I need ironed. And I'm like, this is the one I can't wear wrinkled.
Right.
The rest
right.
of my shirts, I'm like, people don't care. They're not going to notice one way or
it's
the other.
It's under a blazer. It's a slim fit. Who,
right.
You know, you were at the beach. Who cares, right?
You like a beachy look.
Yeah.
We all like to kind of look kind of disheveled
anyway. Just
rolled
off the beach like coastal grandma or whatever, right? Yes.
Coastal grandma is such a good look to go for. Beachy cottage.
Just layers. Glasses, scarves. Just like a cocktail, but also a coffee. I love it. I do love it.
We're all Diane Keaton in the end.
It takes so much money, though, to really get that look, you know?
Every day, like if I go out to lunch with somebody, I'm like, I'm going to look overdressed and everyone's going to know that I'm not a zillionaire. They're going to know the moment I walk in that this person...
Because you're overdressed?
Because I'm literally what I'm wearing right now. Yeah. It feels like I'm not rich. I'm like not the rich person who can just wear whatever they want to brunch.
I see.
You know, where they've got their sunglasses and sweatpants on.
Yeah,
and they look so much cooler than everyone there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, what happened to you? Like, you couldn't put pants on? Like,
it's because
you're just like, don't give a fuck. Like, but that's rude to me. Like,
it's rude to me.
I care a little bit. I understand you're like running to get gas or like going to Smart and Final to get too much cereal or whatever. But like, if you're making the effort to go out to lunch, put on pants.
Put something on.
Is it like matching? Sure, I buy that. Joggings, like top
right,
and bottom.
Athleisure.
Adidas. Mm-hmm. Adidas, as we say in
Adidas.
Our house.
Doesn't so that musical. Sound
like a greeting or something?
I love that.
Adidas to you and your loved ones.
I'm someone who will, like, I have to shower and put on clothes even before I go to a gas station or something.
You are.
So
that's
these people
a formal
who,
way to live.
Very formal.
Yeah.
Very formal.
Is that like touches of OCD or is it just like...
I don't know. I feel like I just can't leave the house until I feel clean.
Oh, clean. Mm-hmm. It's about cleanliness.
Cleanliness
okay.
or something. It's very rare that I go somewhere. The only place essentially I'll go in pajamas or whatever is to buy a bagel sandwich.
Okay.
And then, you know, I've ordered it online. I'm ready.
You're just rolling out.
And you know everyone there is going to be... have just woken up anyway.
Right. So. What time of day is that?
This is usually a Saturday or Sunday at about 8 a.m.
Okay, on the earlier side.
Yes.
So those jogging pants people haven't even woken up yet.
No.
You're already ahead of the curve.
I'm 4 hours ahead of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The people I'm seeing are dedicated.
Dads.
They're dedicated moms and dads. I mean, the last time... A few months ago I went and the line was so long it was because everyone was buying Mother's Day brunch there.
Which one is that? The one on York?
Bell's Bagels.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never had that one.
Delicious.
Okay.
Such
Who's
good
that
bagels.
Other bagel place that used to be at the Burger Place? Is that the same one and just moved over?
That is. I think that's the same place because that's Goldburger, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great hamburgers. They must be friends or something.
Yeah.
There's something. There's some cahoots going on there.
I love a cahoot. I love a good cahoot.
but that's essentially me. And I'm going to lunch today and I'm already just bracing myself for the location to make me feel uncomfortable and everyone there to be underdressed.
Is it a fancy place? Or
it's
is
all
it...
time. Do you know that place in Los Feliz?
Yeah.
Which is good, but I think too expensive.
Yeah. I feel that way when I go to like a little Dom's or something because you know you're going to see... people in the industry.
Yeah, constantly. There are some real, like, there are some standards there that you're going to see.
Yeah.
Famous people that everyone has seen there. And how do you feel about the food at Little Dom's?
I like the ice cream affogato thing.
Oh,
that's
I love
my favorite
affogato.
Thing. And the rice balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind their breakfast and their
they
coffees.
They have breakfast there.
Like, I like to go there for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah,
we
for dinner,
been
I'm
for
always.
Dinner in a while.
I always feel like this was fine, but the atmosphere is nice, and I got to see a celebrity.
Yeah, who have you seen?
John Hamm.
Oh yeah, okay.
I feel like is that something we can say on a podcast? I feel like that's okay.
We can say that.
It feels
right?
like pretty public knowledge
it's Hollywood,
at this point.
Hollywood.
I feel like we revealed that what's his name's at the skating center all the time, didn't we, Annalise?
Which one? The one in Glendale?
Yeah.
Moonlight Rollerway.
But. Now,
I had my child's birthday there.
Oh, how was it?
It was insane.
Was it? How so?
It was insane. I really bit off more than I could chew and underestimated how much people wanted to get to a roller rink. But they, you pay by person,
okay.
person who's going to skate. And so it was my daughter's fifth birthday.
Okay.
And she did not know how to roller skate.
Mm-hmm.
And neither did all 30 of her friends. But all the parents know how.
Okay,
because
right.
they're all my generation, and that's where we grew up, like, you know, coming of sexual age
of
or whatever.
Of course,
so
of course.
Everybody was like, we can't often, whatever, like what Debbie Deb, like out there. I was like, I had made a playlist. They played that specifically. Soraya was like, play Frozen. What are you doing? And I'm like, this is it for you. But it was insane. Also, I had just had spinal surgery. literally 5 days prior to that.
What?
And I had, it was supposed to happen 3 weeks prior to that, mm-hmm. but I had gotten a cold, and you know, you can't have spinal surgery if you can't breathe.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay. So,
it feels fair.
So I'm on heavy levels of Norco and there's two cakes. One cake was an ice cream cake, but we did not, I mean, again, we had to get so much food and sweet stuff because
they don't
of the
have a
amount
snack bar.
Of people. Yeah, they have a snack bar, but then you're like paying per person.
Right.
You know,
you have
so,
no control over it at that point.
Yeah. And I had gotten the final guests. I mean, people were like, how can I help? And I was like, I don't know. Like, there's like 40 gift bags. It was just so, I had really bit off more than I could chew, especially given that I was under the influence of Norco and 5 days out of a major outpatient surgery.
Were you mobile?
Totally mobile.
Okay.
Wasn't able to drive myself. So Jessica St. Clair, my writing partner, picked me up and drove me, which I appreciated because my husband was wrangling the kids. And mm-hmm. then I did skate.
Oh, you were skateboarding.
I skated. What's wrong with me? No, I didn't. That was painful, actually. I remember.
Oh.
I had to go back later and get my skate on because, like, I think my spine surgeon said, no fucking way. Right?
I would hope so.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you can't do that.
If your spinal surgeon is like,
yeah,
go for it, you know that they're looking for more money. They're like, let's get her back quickly as possible.
He also told me, because I emailed to ask if it was okay if I took this job on Curb Your Enthusiasm that was shooting, you know, like 6 weeks out from surgery.
Uh-huh.
But I had to run on a treadmill.
Oh.
And again, he was like, I mean, he didn't say fucking because he's professional,
sure.
but he was like, that's not a good idea, period. So, like, that was the whole email.
Were you able to take the job?
Well, it kept getting pushed.
Oh, incredible.
Great. So it worked out.
And I feel like they probably could have faked it in some way. Just had you kind of move your shoulders and done like just a head.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So it ended up, I was full out. I'm also supposed to be pregnant. So I had on a pregnant belly and I was on a treadmill, like running as fast as I possibly could. It was great.
And
it was a funny scene.
Probably yelling at Larry or something.
Yeah. No, he was telling me that I was harming the fetus. It's a good episode.
I wonder if I've seen that. I haven't seen Curb in such a long time that it's all kind of blurred together. But what season was this?
Not the last one, but the one before. I think it was the first episode. It was the Happy New Year episode.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
Yeah. So we saw each other, and I said Happy New Year. He goes, you can't say that. And I was like, well, what's the limit? And he was like, 3 days.
Oh,
and I
of
was
course
like,
I've seen
two,
this
2 weeks. What are you talking about? And then we get on side-by-side treadmills, and I tell him, my midwife said it was fine if I exercise. And he was like, you're harming the fetus. And then later, he sees me in a coffee shop drinking coffee and gives me an evil eye. And then later, I'm in the hospital, and he knocks me down going through the double doors. And also, my character's name was Randy.
That's such a good name.
It's like, for a woman to be named Randy, I mean, that's really all you need to know, right? She's definitely hitting moonlight roller way.
The only I knew, I had a friend, Randy, who was a boy in elementary and middle school. And then the second Randy I learned of was a character on the Brady Bunch who was a girl. And my world was just shaken. It's like, Randy can be anybody.
Anyone can be anybody, right?
Anybody can be anybody.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to your playlist at the roller rink.
Yes.
What were some of the songs on it?
Some of them you can't play anymore, I'll be honest. They've been canceled big, you know, documentaries have come out.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is my childhood.
Right.
This is my childhood everything music.
Of course.
So that playlist still exists on my iTunes because I'm such an old person that I have still purchase albums on iTunes.
Still?
Yeah.
You should still.
I want to support the artist.
I totally
you know?
Encourage that.
Yeah. It's also like making a playlist on Spotify. I do that as well. But like, sure. What if you don't have intranets, you know?
Oh, I panic about that all the time. What if even if I go like over the hill in Eagle Rock, I lose service for a minute. I'm like, yeah. I can't choose what song I'm listening to right now. And I hate that.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was, I can imagine who you're talking about.
Sure, sure. But it was heavy Okay. It was heavy that. If I were playing my old roller skating playlist, mm-hmm. there would have been like a Bon Jovi song on
it. Oh, interesting. Okay.
That was my fourth grade, like my first boyfriend, Kenny, not to be mistaken with Randy. And yeah, our song was Born to Be My Baby, which is Bon Jovi.
Is that like a ballad?
No.
Oh, how do I not know this?
Yeah.
I know Living on a Prayer.
Yes, of course.
Dead or Alive.
You Give Love a Bad Name.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Born to Be My Baby.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to look up because I have a, let me see if I have the actual playlist on here.
Yeah. I'm very curious. I love roller skating music. I mean, when I think about roller skating music, I feel like ABBA, Donna Summer.
Oh, interesting. You go disco.
Debbie Gibson.
Okay. Yeah. Shake Your Love. Shake Your Love.
Tiffany.
Uh-huh.
But I'm very curious about what else you've got happening here.
Okay. So the aforementioned artist opens it. And then there's also his childhood group.
Oh, sure. Now, can we talk about that, the difference? I feel like...
One is okay?
I feel like Jackson 5 is okay. I can still listen to Jackson 5.
It's hard for me.
Still, that's hard for you. I can't listen to... we all know what we're talking about here. I can't listen to Michael Jackson anymore. I can probably... There's one... Songs off of Off the Wall, I can still kind of... But it's almost impossible.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably my favorite album of
his. It's his best album by a million miles, I would say.
Yeah. Honestly, the whole thing makes me so sad.
Yeah,
it used to be I could put that Off the Wall album on and it would pump me up for anything. Literally now, I put it on and I feel overwhelming sadness.
Oh,
and
what a
even
nightmare.
With the Jackson 5, like Never Can Say Goodbye, like mm-hmm. a lot of those sweet songs, like I can't.
No, there's a giant shadow over all of it.
Yeah, yeah. So
I've kind of just separated his solo work from the Jackson 5 in my mind, and I feel like these were the happy years. Actually, they weren't.
There was a lot of abuse happening. Yeah.
Leading to all
there was
of these
a lot
other
of
horrible
like, parental abuse happening for sure.
So let's just forget any of that. It's just not a good.
Okay, I've got Love Shack. I've got Boogie Shoes, Celebration, Cool in the Gang. There's several Cool in the Gangs. I've got Take on Me. I've got The Warrior by Patti Smith because that's the song that is me and my daughter's song.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Gloria Estefan.
Okay.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, fun. That's what's his name? Ray something?
Yeah, Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr., mm-hmm. That's right.
But then you've also got some Beyonce, some Uptown Funk, some Happy and Footloose and stuff from the Trolls movie.
you could be a roller rink DJ.
I could. Push It. Classic. I Can't Wait. New Shoes. Uh-huh. I mean, Let the Music Play. We've got Huey Lewis. There we go. Bon Jovi's on there. Two Bruno Mars. Anyway, it goes on and on and on, honestly. And ends with Be Nice by the Black Eyed Peas. Do you know that song?
I don't know. That's a very funny song.
Okay, so the song Songland, do you know that show?
No, I'm not familiar.
Okay, so there's show, I'm not allowed to be talking about AMPTP properties probably, but there was a show on, and it's not on anymore, called Songland.
Okay.
Where there were three like very famous producers, a country, like a rock, and an R&B producer.
All right.
And artists would come on. And then six people would sing their original songs.
Oh, I like this.
And then the artist would narrow it down to three. And then they would get paired up with the producer and they would go away and work on the song. And then they would come back and present the new song to the artist. The artist would pick one and record it.
Oh, this is so involved.
He picked this song, Be Nice. Which actually my husband and I love. And my kids are like, stop playing it.
So it's not that old of a show then?
No.
Okay.
Recent.
I was imagining like a Star Search type.
Oh, yeah. No. No, that was like a Putting on the Hits. No, it was recent.
Putting on the Hits. I've never heard of this.
What?
I love that name. Is that a pun on Putting on the Rinse?
Of course.
It was a
lip sync show.
Oh.
It was a lip sync show hosted by, I want to say, the guy that played The Greatest American Hero, but I don't think that's right. Do you know that show?
No, I'm not familiar.
Okay, so that song. That song. Oh my God. Look at what's happening to me.
That sounds familiar.
I can't believe it myself. Okay, anyway, I'll play that for you later. Okay, it was a lip sync show, and it is stuck in my head because people would come on and do full like lip sync numbers. This is pre-RuPaul. Jimmy Fallon and all, yes, and pre-RuPaul, or probably at the same time
as RuPaul was
coming up in Atlanta. But there was one performance to "Endless Love," and a man dressed half of his body like Lionel Richie.
Okay,
like draw a line down the center of his face, and the other half. Diana Ross.
Oh, wow.
And so when each of them were singing, he would turn, and it started out and it was like, you know, my love. And it's just Lionel, right? There's only you in my life. And then my first love. And it would turn.
I have to see this.
And it would be her. And then when they were singing, he would turn to the middle.
And
so you could see
scary.
Both of them. Terrifying. But I went, it was really inspiring. And there was another thing on there that like inspired a Halloween costume that I had where I was Carmen Miranda on the top half.
Top half.
And the bottom half was a man carrying her on a chair on his back. That was seventh grade. Listen, these were fruitful years.
That's such a great costume. I love those costumes where it's kind of an illusion. You know,
yes.
I did like I think in fourth grade, the headless person where you're holding your head.
Yeah. My son wants to do that this year. He
great
wants
costume.
To be, at, you know, like holding a head beside him. He's really into violence right now. So that's good.
Yeah. Speaking from personal experience, I can say you get a lot. It's a buzzy costume. People are talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
They're
good.
Thrilled that you're holding your head. So that's a good costume.
Yeah.
And I don't, well, my parents probably put hours and hours of work into it.
They made it for you.
Yeah. I did nothing to help. But
your head was the head, right?
And yeah,
then there
was
like
head.
Another thing built up behind
you. There was like a bloody stump on top.
Like a headless horseman almost.
Although I was in a football jersey. I was a headless, as far
headless
as I know, football player.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Actually, it does. The NFL does not want you to hear about this.
They don't want to talk about it, but we are here today to talk about it.
This is the new head issue in the NFL. It's completely complete decapitation.
Complete decapitation.
Well, I mean, speaking about things that no one wants to talk about, there's something, you know, that I've been a little upset about for the last half hour or so.
The whole time we've been talking?
I've been seething.
Well,
you're good at
keeping it under wraps.
Look, I've been working on myself, and I'm trying to just keep control. The podcast is called I Said No Gifts.
That's
I'm so excited you were coming
true.
Today.
And I'm so happy to be here.
Just thrilled to have you. I thought we'll have a good time. I'll be able to go to the urgent care about my spider bite, my day will be perfect.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised. I was a little thrown when you showed up in my backyard.
Yeah.
Holding what I would describe as two gift-looking objects.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is just a little something, though. This is not an actual gift, just a little something.
Okay,
this one is a gift, but I will say this. You don't invite a Southern woman into your into your backyard and expect that she's not going to bring you a gift. Whether or not you say has no meaning to her. It would go against everything that she's been raised to believe to be true about what a woman is if she were to walk in empty-handed. So this is just a little something that we'll share. And this one is clearly a gift. For sure it's a gift.
Okay, well, I'm glad you've been honest. Should I open these here on the podcast?
Yeah, I think that's probably good.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, what do you think? You've got the little sum that you said we'll share. Let's open that first.
Mm-hmm. Let's open that. Let's see if you can get...
It's in an adorable Santa Claus tin with a Santa Claus is being spooned by a reindeer.
That's true.
On a sleigh.
They're going down the hill on a yoga mat, it looks like.
Oh, it does look like a yoga mat.
But it's not. There's no legs underneath the sleigh.
No
Santa's
legs.
Santa's using his core, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's nice to see the deer in the back for once, you know.
Honestly. Honestly, to see him fronting the ship for once
it's
in his
so
goddamn
nice.
Life.
Yeah, a little break. This is the power of unions. Let me open this
I don't know
up.
If you're going to be able to do it with one hand.
I'm going to.
You can. You can do
I
it.
I want people to hear me struggle. I want
again,
them to know
I know.
That
that's
is,
why I was like, I was like, shut up and let him speak. Let him speak.
I smelled something immediately. It smelled wonderful.
It smells good. Are you allergic to anything?
Nothing. Are you allergic to anything?
I'm not. There's a lot of food I don't like, but I'm not allergic
I want
to
get
to
into
it.
That in a moment. But yeah, let's see what this is. Oh, is this fudge?
Yes.
Did you make this?
We made it last night.
You're kidding.
Me and my children.
Okay. Am I allowed to have one?
Yes, of course. As long as you're not allergic to it.
I'm going to have one.
I didn't put pecans in it because I didn't know.
Right. That's very. That's
but just be careful
thoughtful.
Because it is quite delicious.
Do you want one? You don't have to have
no,
one.
No, I've been having.
Annalise?
It's very. It's
oh, my
very,
God.
It's really good, right? Oh. How is it so good? You're welcome. Oh. It is filled with so many sugars and fats, guys.
That tastes, and is this your recipe?
It is the recipe on the back of the Magic Fluff container, which is the recipe that my grandmother used to make. Mm-hmm. It's just that marshmallow fluff container. And then you like follow it to, now you have to like follow a QR code, but it used to be printed on the back of the marshmallow fluff thing. And
right.
It's just like seven ingredients. It's, yeah, she used to make it for everything. And I actually made it in her pot. The one that,
oh, that's so sweet.
The one that she, that I took from her.
I feel so rude just eating in front
of
you.
Eat it.
This is phenomenal.
Eat it. It's,
now there's an artist we can all get behind.
Oh yes, let's get behind him.
This is so good. So it's, I imagine marshmallow fluff, mm-hmm. sugar, two sugars?
No, just the
just white sugar.
White sugar. Mm-hmm.
Butter.
Yeah, margarine.
Margarine. Is that really rather than butter?
Yeah.
Oh, how fascinating. Vanilla?
Uh-huh.
How many ingredients have I got so far? Why do I care?
I'm not sure. Condensed milk.
Oh, okay.
And then the semi-sweet chocolate.
Oh, delicious.
And I did do Girardelli, because
oh,
I think
that
makes all the difference.
That's the when I'm making cookies, that's the only chip I'll use at this
point.
There you
go. Are you a baker?
I am a baker. I've never made fudge before.
Yeah, it's very satisfying. Makes a big like brownie size pan,
right?
And then you can just give it out as a gift or whatever.
Is it difficult?
No.
Is it stressful?
No.
Even though you're like having to stir on the stove.
Yeah, you stir it until it boils, and then you stir for 5 minutes.
Okay. You just turn it off. Turn off the heat once it boils.
No, you keep the heat on.
Oh, okay.
Keep it boiling 5 minutes. And then turn off the heat, and then you mix in the chocolate,
mm-hmm.
then the marshmallow, and then the vanilla.
Oh, fascinating.
So it's the condensed milk, the sugar, and the margarine. That are combining to begin with.
Margarine, did you already have margarine in your home, or you had to go get margarine?
No, yeah, I had to go get all of this.
Because I don't feel like anyone just has margarine anymore.
Not anymore. And they won't say margarine on it.
Oh, what do they call it? Butter spread or something?
It's like, well, this brand is Imperial, but I recognize that as the famous margarine.
Right, right.
But it's like, it's vegetable oil, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, maybe, I don't know if it's vegan.
Oh, yeah, I wonder. That feels like it would be vegan, yeah, right?
Probably. They probably Annalisa figured how to get some kind of horse stuff into it.
Margarine. Horse teeth or something. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a decadent treat.
It's so good. How often are you making treats around the house?
I love to bake as well.
You do?
Yes.
So what are you baking?
I don't bake that often, though.
Okay.
I do love to do it, just like so much to clean up. Mm-hmm. And again, we've established how much laundry I'm doing.
You've got enough on your hands.
But yeah, I do love, like, every once in a while, I'll do something like, I want to make Queen Amans, you know, which are these, like, do you know what
no,
those are?
No, I have no idea.
They're these really crazy layered pastries, like butter-layered pastries,
okay,
that you cover in sugar,
okay,
and then bake in, like, they form up into this little muffin-y kind of thing.
Oh.
They have them at Civil.
It's almost like a, what were those, the fad cruffins? That's like a croissant muffin?
Yeah, they're way better than that.
Okay. And how do you spell that?
Queen Amon. I think it starts with a K.
Okay.
K-O-U-I-G-N. And Amon, I don't know if that's A-M.
Oh, okay. A-M-O-N?
Yeah.
Is that
something
French,
like
maybe?
That. I don't think it's French. It sounds like
Queen Amon.
Yeah, I like it though.
So you make those? Are you ever making
a
cookie?
That. I like to make a cake or a on a birthday I'll make my mom her favorite cake, like a caramel cake. This year I ordered one from Goldbelly.
Oh,
so it came all the way from like South Carolina or something.
Was it worth it? Was it a
was
good
worth
cake?
It. Caramel cake is really
I've never had
hard
that.
To make. It's a real Southern thing. The caramel's almost like this consistency, mm-hmm, like it turns into like a kind of a fudge, but it's caramel flavor.
Oh.
But it's delicious.
And then just like white cake or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Southerners love just a purely like unbelievably sweet dessert.
Absolutely. We had banana pudding the other night. That's another one of my faves, banana pudding.
Banana pudding I love, but I can eat about 3 spoonfuls.
Okay.
I've been trying to formulate in my mind like a banana pudding with peanut butter or something to make it slightly saltier. Something
that's like a banoffee. Do you know?
Oh.
Do you know this like a British thing? I only know that because of the Great British Baking Show.
Right. And yeah. What is banoffee?
I don't know if it's like banana
toffee.
Yeah. Peanut butter or something.
Right, right.
You know banana. I just eat a banana peanut butter sandwich.
Delicious. I don't think I've ever combined...
With a little bit of honey.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever put a banana in a sandwich with peanut butter, but I've had the combination.
It's very good.
Very good combination.
It's a healthy lunch.
Perfectly. Use like 4 or 5 slices of bread.
Yeah.
And you're ready to go.
Yes.
Okay. So you made this fudge. What gave you the idea? You just wanted to bring a treat?
I was thinking about, okay, so when I give a gift, generally speaking, I'm thinking about the other person, mm-hmm, not myself. And I don't know you that well.
Right.
And I don't know, but I always know that something akin to this is going to go over well because it shows effort and like
unbelievable
respect,
amount of effort,
you know,
yes,
and like a level of thoughtfulness, which I appreciate in a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think it touches on like my Southern heritage. And then I also get to like make it with my kids, which is always a treat. And then also I think about my grandmother who used to make this.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And so, you know, everyone wins.
What state are you from?
I grew up in Georgia.
Georgia, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they love a fudge and a...
Oh, they love a fudge.
And does your mom now live here?
Both my parents live in Altadena now.
Oh,
nearby.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do have to kind of fly in desserts on occasion to make them
yes,
kind
exactly.
of authentically Southern. Yeah. Do your kids enjoy... What grades are they in?
1st and 5th.
Okay, so they still enjoy like doing crafts with mom, that kind of thing.
Yeah, baking is an interesting one because it always starts out a nightmare. Like they're arguing over who gets to do which one,
uh-huh,
you know? But then it starts to even out and we like hit this sweet spot. And my husband says he just loves to listen to us as we're talking. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like, helping him learn how to stir, mm-hmm, correctly, or like praising her for, you know, being gentle with the eggs. I don't know. Like, you know, I really like to do it when I do it, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice background noise. yeah, I feel like I can only make cookies. I think I might just have to, I'll occasionally make a brownie. Mm. But
brownies are great.
Brownies are great, but they feel like one step too far all the time, where it's like I had to do one extra thing. And I don't even
know. Just buy a mix, though.
I do. I've started buying.
The mixes are knock it out of the park. You know, we made a chocolate cake from Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
Because we were near, I don't care for Whole Foods. I'll just say that out loud. I don't like the experience of being in there. But anyway, we were nearby and we needed to make a chocolate cake because my daughter wanted to make a chocolate cake for my birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
And is that right? Or for Mother's Day or something. Anyway, our anniversary, that's what it was.
Okay.
And so I was like, how can I make this as easy for me as possible? Mm-hmm. So we just bought the regular chocolate cake mix.
Like like a store brand.
360, whatever.
360, yeah. Right.
And then the icing mix. Mm-hmm. And then we used salted butter instead of regular butter.
Okay.
And so it was like a salted chocolate frosting. And it was one of the best cakes I've ever had in my life.
Mixes, brownie mixes, I'm a recent convert to. And I'll use, just that you get like a slightly nicer brownie mix.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I've been
told that if you use coffee instead of water, it'll taste
coffee.
Better. There are all these little tricks people have learned. So maybe I just need to lean on that more or something.
You can use a premix.
I would never use a premix for a cookie.
Never.
I feel like that doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But a brownie and a cake, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never made a cake.
In your whole life?
I don't think in my entire life I've never baked a cake. My mom did a lot of baking.
Yeah.
And she would bake cakes, but...
Do you like cake?
Cake for me...
Tell me.
...is a giant commitment. With a cookie, I can eat one, and then I can like kind of judge how many more I want to eat.
Got it.
With cake, I'm like, I now have a little project, mm-hmm. and if it's not incredible, I'm just doing a boring thing through this entire slice of cake.
Right.
What about you? Do you like a cake?
Specific cakes.
Okay. The caramel cake.
Like the
cake.
Caramel cake, yeah.
Right. Have you been to Quarter Sheets in Echo Park, the pizza place?
Uh-uh.
They have something called a princess cake.
Oh.
That is...
I already don't like it. Okay, tell me more. Wait, no, this is the one I've had it. It's like 1,000 crepe layers or whatever with the...
Oh, that sounds good.
Is that it?
It's a few layers. It's like white cake,
okay.
And then raspberry stuff, and then whipped cream, and then cake, and then it has like a, what's the marzipan shell on it? It's beautiful. And I'm not crazy about a really sweet thing, but this I really like.
You like it. I don't want to shit on it, but I don't, like marzipan to me is... It just is always too much.
Right.
It's almonds,
if you're just eating
sugar
pure
paste,
marzipan, forget it.
Forget about it. Decorative at the very least. I guess if it's all over the edge and the outside of the cake, it makes it look so beautiful.
And this is very thin.
Sure. But also put fruit in a cake, I'm out.
You're out.
Like a strawberry. I mean, like at all the work parties, they do like a strawberry cream cake because they think everybody's going to like love how decadent it is. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm out. Like, give me a red velvet. Give me like a, you know, something that is in the like fried green tomatoes cookbook.
Ooh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, give me that.
Completely. I mean, I almost always need chocolate. Otherwise, I'm like, this is a C-plus at best.
Yeah.
If it's not a chocolate dessert. But this princess cake, for whatever reason, has...
It checks your boxes.
It's really nice to look at. And I love whipped cream.
Yeah.
But I'm basically on the same page with you as fruit. But I also don't like a birthday cake. Is that what those are called? The ones with the sprinkles, the colorful stuff in them?
Like the milk bar or whatever, like those cakes? Yeah.
Not crazy about that thing.
Yeah. That woman is a genius, though.
She's really kind of a mad scientist.
Yeah. I watched her like Chef's Table.
Me too.
Yeah. I love that show, but I can only watch it. I can only take it for so long.
Before.
And then I'm like, we're going to Patagonia? What's happening? Eight people can eat this ram.
Yeah, nobody's allowed to eat this.
but she seemed accessible, and like I recognized her like the way she was raised and the women that raised her, and I was like, this is incredible that she's like putting like the flavor of cereal milk,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like that flavor, but into something, you
she
know, like
made the
that.
Ice cream, right?
Yeah.
With the cereal.
But have
milk?
You ever tasted? It is not called this anymore, but it's called crack pie.
Oh,
it's one of the best things
delicious.
Ever known to man. They call it the milk bar pie now, and they will also ship it to you. But
they dropped the crack.
There's one in Melrose. Yeah, they used to have, my husband and I, they would set up shop at the Union Square Farmers Market, like the Holiday Village in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go, and you could buy a slice of it and just like put it in your hand and just eat it off your hand.
It's such a perfect combination of flavor.
Oh, my God.
This must have been before they really expanded, when they were still at the farmer's market.
I think so. I don't think she had her own shop yet.
Okay. Well,
she was like the pastry chef at Momofuku, mm-hmm. and then maybe she had opened one of her shops or something, or was doing, I don't know.
Right.
I don't really know her whole story, but I do know a lot of it. It's surprising.
Surprisingly, you've kind of interacted with her at the beginning of her career journey.
Or her, yeah. It was so,
you've seen
my
one
God.
Episode of TV about her.
The best. Yep. I get her newsletter. I do. I signed up for it. I wanted to support her.
What is her newsletter? Is it like a Substack?
No, you sign up and it comes into your email. Yeah, you don't go to somewhere to see it.
Right.
You just
and
get
she's
an
just
email
writing
about
her life
it.
Or new
yeah,
recipes.
Yeah, I think there might be recipes. I haven't read it in a while, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should open the gift.
Okay.
I think we should see what's happening there. Let me close the fudge for a minute. This is just unbelievable.
Okay.
Now this gift is in a beautiful orange.
Yeah.
Wrap. There are
Seemed
little
like
pictures
California,
of oranges.
California, right?
Very California. And it says to Bridger from Lennon. Very sweet. Okay, I'm going to open it up. Oh, this is well wrapped. Look how satisfying that is to open.
Yeah.
Almost clicks.
This is wrapping is, I know it's so wasteful, but it takes it to the next level.
It adds so much, unless I'm doing it. And then it's
and
detracting
then it's a
and
real
making
shit show.
People feel bad. Okay, I'm pulling it out.
It might be hard because it's got the coil. There you go.
Oh, wait. Is this it's a music book, standards, 100 all-time favorites.
Yes.
With songs like Ain't Misbehavin', Blueberry Hill, A Foggy Day, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
This one is my favorite one. Where is it?
Don't Cry Out Loud.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
Wow. This is probably 40 years old or something.
Who knows how old it is?
It's a really beautiful piano, vocal, and guitar.
Do you play or sing?
I took piano lessons from kindergarten till about ninth grade.
And do you still play or pluck around?
I fuck around.
Yeah.
My boyfriend actually knows how to play the piano.
He does?
Yes.
I'm coming over. I'm coming over.
Do you have a piano?
We don't.
I think it's a nice thing to have, even if you don't play the piano, because I'll go over that. Well, it's nice for the person playing it, because I imagine when I'm playing, other people are like, well, you don't know how to play, so stop it. but I took lessons for a long time, and I can still form a chord.
Yeah.
And I know which keys go together, essentially.
That's good. That's helpful, though.
Enough, but I can't, I can't do both hands anymore. I'm not super skilled.
Yeah.
Did you take lessons or anything like this?
I played the drums growing up. I played I started just with snare and then did that all through middle, started to do also like other percussion, like timpani and chimes and glockenspiel and all that jazz. And then I marched snare all through high school and also played in the symphonic band percussion.
Wow.
But I also love to sing.
Okay.
Although I've never been paid for it, but I'm like so good at karaoke and, love to sing in the car. And then also, I goofed with the guitar, but I'm still like very, like, it's very like herky jerky and probably not satisfying.
Yeah. That's me with the guitar where I can basically remember 3-ish chords, but I'm not, even with those, I can barely get to them. And
yeah.
So it ends up just being kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
Did you ever play in like a rock band?
No, I did like a jazz ensemble a couple times on set. Like that's not too difficult to transition from like playing snare to playing like jazz set. Because it's very just straightforward, you know?
I love a
Yeah. But I did do some set work, like I was trying to like do samba and some other stuff. And it's so... it's like a whole new part of your brain to be able to do the bass drum, the hi-hat, all the other drums, mm-hmm. the cymbal. It just it takes a lot of work.
You're using, it feels like, every part of your brain to get your hands to move it and your feet to move it.
Yeah,
different
and all
times.
At the same time. Yeah, it's difficult, but it feels good. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult.
Do you have a favorite drummer?
You know, there's a woman named Evelyn Glennie.
Okay.
She's Irish and she's deaf.
Wow.
And she's one of the preeminent percussionists in the world. And her albums are insane. And she plays with all kinds of instruments and sounds. And now she looks like a witch. Like, her hair is white. And she's just, if you ever see a video of her or something, you're just what is happening? But it's really, of course, I paid for, I think I bought CDs of hers or something,
know,
and then uploaded them onto my computer at some point to save them, put them in a binder. But yeah, I would say her. I'm not there's certain riffs, drum riffs that I love to play along with in the car, Green Day. Do you have the time?
That one. Right, right.
Yeah. That's the best to fake air drum.
Mm-hmm.
It really impresses
air drumming
makeup and hair trailer. air drumming
it's so much fun.
So satisfying.
Even if you don't know how.
Twist the sticks.
Oh, how you do the twisting?
Yeah.
You can
roll the sticks in your hand like that. And then you can throw it up and catch it at the right time. It's just so satisfying.
That feels like you should be doing that on TikTok or something. That could be
I'm
really
terrified of TikTok.
As am I. But I feel like I've just given you a real good.
You've given it to me. Thank you.
You could become TikTok Lennon or drumming Lennon.
Yeah. We'll come up with a better name.
That's catchy. I workshopped that before the podcast, actually. I was just thinking,
TikTok drumming Lennon.
What are your karaoke go-tos?
It just depends on the room. I have, again, a playlist of songs that I sing along songs that I can draw on. My friend Michael and I used to go in New York, just the two of us, to do karaoke. Or sometimes I would just go by myself into a room, because during the day it's $4 an hour.
Oh, right.
And just sing until my heart's content.
Oh,
you
that
know?
Sounds wonderful.
Or he and I would go and do Broadway duets, you know, which was wonderful. And then take turns. I love, there's some Martina McBride songs.
Oh,
like
great karaoke.
Whatever You Say is a good one. Broken Wing is a good one, or Reba's Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
That usually brings the house down. Some Dixie Chicks, obviously. What else? Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be one of the all-time most popular karaoke songs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably. I also, now this is only for me. This would not be really... This would be torture, but that would be Bonnie Raitt's I Can't Make You Love Me.
Oh.
It's the one of the hardest songs to sing, but it sits right there in my alto range, and I love it. I also do I like Chess, the musical. Well, I like a lot of musicals.
Oh, sure, sure.
But Chess, do you know Chess?
I don't know Chess.
Okay. It was written by the ABBA guys.
Oh, no way.
And it came out, I think, in the 80s. So that song, One Night in Bangkok, is from that musical.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we did it in college, so I was made aware of it. And the woman who is the advisor to the American chess player, Florence, is such a badass. And and then she switches teams and falls in love with the Russian.
Oh, of course.
Okay. So there's some amazing ballads. And the song I used to sing for auditions, Heaven Help My Heart. And then Someone Else's Story is an amazing song, Nobody's on Nobody's Side. And then the two women duet, I Know Him So Well. So if you get, this will kill everyone. If you find another woman who knows the song, my friend Risa Sangarai in New York, who was on my very first improv team, we will sing, Wasn't It Good? Oh, So Good. And we do it in harmony, and it's just everybody's losing their mind.
Just floored.
Just floored.
I need to hear these. I mean, this sounds like roller skating music to me.
Yeah, it is, I guess. Yeah. I would love to do a chess-themed roller skating party.
Yeah, I guess that one night in Bangkok really kind of just became its own thing.
It did, yeah.
And it's such a weird, almost uncomfortable piece of music to listen to.
Well, it's terrible, really,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like so many of those songs of in the mid-80s, just like,
bad things.
I'll take this culture. Thank you very much. I'll put it to a little ditty.
I can set this to a tune.
I just listened to that song. Well, I was like, have you guys ever heard, I was going to play Birdhouse in Your Soul for my kids, because I'm in that place where I'm like, oh, they've never heard this song. Mm-hmm. This is so exciting. I get to share this. And then they're like, But I was playing Maxwell's Silver Hammer, which is a Beatles song. So my dad used to play the guitar and I would sing that song. And I loved that song. It's my favorite song. It's so dark and weird. And we're playing it in the car and it's literally it's about a serial killer.
Killing people with his hammer?
Killing people with his hammer. The first girl is a girl on a date.
What?
The second girl is a girl on the study group. The third is the teacher. The third one is the woman who is the judge for his trial, during his trial.
He kills the judge. Why did they let the hammer into court?
Exactly. I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
It's bad storytelling.
So many things about this. And so I was like, we're driving there, and Soraya was like, what? Why did they make this song, Mom? And I was like, and Kai was like, I love this. And I was like, oh no, what have I done? Anyway.
That's amazing. I mean, I've never picked up on that with that song. I guess I've just never listened to it that closely. It's such a jaunty piece of music.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I need to revisit now.
Yeah, look at the words. Listen to the words. Let them speak, you know?
I've got to learn to play one of these songs in here. I used to have to memorize one song every year for a piano recital.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since I've done that.
Were they like classical or what were you?
They were all over the place. I think my very first one in kindergarten was the Mickey Mouse Club theme song.
Oh, okay.
And then we started, you started to get interested. So I would play songs from the Disney animated movies, like from The Lion King or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, kind of my most famous moment was, I think in sixth or seventh grade, I played I'll Be There For You from Friends, the Friends theme song, which I'm sure.
Transitioning you into the life that you live right now.
Yes. Professional theme song player. And I think that was kind of the end of my piano playing journey.
Yeah.
That's when I really started to be.
You peaked.
I peaked. Where could I go from there? I could only embarrass
myself.
Did you
clap in the middle of it?
I should have clapped. Oh, can you? My teacher totally dropped the ball. Can you imagine a sixth grader?
Da, 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 da. Ka, ka, ka. I would have loved that. I would have loved that.
That's all I want to see. Okay, well, I'm going to learn to play one of these.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll learn to play Don't Cry Out Loud.
Oh, I would love it. Let me know so I can come over.
And I'm going to have a little recital.
Is it in alphabetical order?
Gone with the Wind.
Don't.
I haven't heard of some. What's that? Disfano?
Desafinado.
Desafiano, okay.
Not written by someone with a Latin last name.
Oh, there we go again.
I don't want to
set the world on fire.
Here's that. Okay.
So these are deep
cuts.
Chances
are, we got to know that one, right?
I'll get by as long as I have you.
I'm going to look in the glossary.
Harbor Lights.
There's got to be, right? There we go. 166, the very end. My mother is a therapist. And whenever this came on, the chorus is, don't cry out loud, right?
You're right.
Keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings.
This is what therapists always tell
people.
And
so my mom would go, well, that's not a good idea. That'll kill you.
She could not enjoy this song.
Anyway, I don't even know if I know the lyric. I mean, the verse. Anyway,
I wonder what the what are we talking about with the verse? Let's see. Baby cried the day the circus came to town. Okay, that tracks. Because she didn't like parades just passing by her. Okay, well, this is
She has an affair with a clown. What? And she danced without a net on the wire.
She became like an acrobat that was having an affair with a clown.
Wow.
I know a lot about. Because you see, baby, and then we kind of get to the universal chorus that everyone can relate to.
This is but the original baby, though. Baby, don't, you know, don't put baby in the corner.
Exactly.
This is the original.
Who would have thought that this was about a circus performer?
And if you should fall, remember
trapeze.
You almost had it all. Now, this is a real full circle moment, though, because that you almost...
Oh, this is perfect. This is...
You almost fell to your death.
You were so worried.
I was terrified.
My team was worried. The crew on the set was worried.
Fly high and proud.
And here I come on my bat.
You should fall. Remember, you almost had it all. Wow.
It's a beautiful song. And I'm going to at least learn to play the right hand on the piano, whether I'll be able to form the chords at the same time. But you really do just want the vocal melody. That's really anybody thinks about when you're listening to the piano.
Yeah.
At a piano recital or whatever. Maybe I'll add some claps to that. Add the friends claps to Don't Cry Out Loud.
Wow. Uh-oh.
Well, I think we should play a game.
Okay, yes.
I need a number between 1 and 10 from you.
7.
Okay, I need the number to do some light calculating. I have to get our game pieces.
Okay.
So right now you can recommend something, promote something. Obviously not television or film work.
I can't tell you anything that I've been doing or am currently...
Just promote yourself in general. Do whatever you want. I'll be right back.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Lennon. You can follow me on all the social medias at Lennon Parham. You can follow my playlists on Spotify, where they're mostly light favorites. Yacht Rot. Yacht Rot? Nope. Yacht Rock, etc. You can listen to old podcasts that I did called Womp It Up. You can buy my friend Dan O'Brien's 3 books that just came out. Those are beautiful, beautiful writings. Yeah.
Perfectly used time, considering the circumstances of not being able to talk about. Hopefully by now the release of this episode, the strike will be over. Otherwise, I mean, I think it will just
come out in 2027.
That's what I'm thinking.
Feels like it at this point.
We hate what these producers are doing. They've just got to pull it together. What could I recommend? What's something I've enjoyed recently? I read a book called The Blunderer by Patricia Highsmith. If you like a story about someone getting in a bind, this is a good book. A guy really gets himself in quite a bind.
Like makes bad choices and then ends up making more bad choices.
Yes.
And it's
he
so
makes one huge bad choice,
right,
that really blows up in his face, and then you watch him continue to make bad choices. So that's kind of fun. And, you know, Patricia Highsmith wrote Carol. She wrote Talented Mr. Ripley. So you're in good hands there.
Okay.
I feel like I'm just recommending it right now solely to you and not the listener. Just trying to sell you on this book.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay, this is how we play Gift Master. I'm going to tell you 3 gifts.
Yes.
Then I'm going to tell you 3 celebrities, famous people. And you're
going
to tell me which gift you'll give which celebrity and why.
And why, okay.
Okay, the gifts you'll be giving today are, number one, this is from a listener suggestion. Someone named Eden suggested a lifetime subscription to Consumer Reports, which is actually, I feel like, a valuable gift.
The printed magazine? Or like the subscription service.
Where you get like the website.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you get web
you get
access
all of
with
it.
Print.
All of it.
That seems to be the way it goes.
Lifetime. All right.
Lifetime. Number 2 is a dinner with Blake Shelton.
Ooh.
So that's make of that one. Number 3 is TMJ. So that's some jaw problem.
Oh,
you know, when you're grinding
your
teeth.
You're giving someone TMJ?
It's an experience.
Oh, okay.
And
the TMJ experience. Dolby sound. Okay.
The 3 people you're giving them to are, number 1, John David Washington, son of Denzel, is now really up and coming. He's got all sorts of movies. What was the last thing I saw him in?
The movie was Zendaya.
Probably.
Where the 2 people, they filmed it during the pandemic.
Oh,
how exciting.
What a novel idea.
The 2 of them in a house in Seattle. Island, and it was dark. I didn't see it.
But yes, you're familiar.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that trailer. I should look him up. Let me look him up.
Good looking man.
Okay.
Good
yes,
actor.
Handsome.
While you're looking him up, number 2 is Olivia Rodrigo. Kind of really of the moment. And number 3 is Aida Totoro. who is
from The Sopranos?
Cousin of John Turturro.
Who played the sister, Janice.
She played Janice on Sopranos, one of my favorite TV characters ever.
Ever.
She's
Talk
incredible.
About a being in a bind. Okay, John Turturro. Nope, John David Washington. Oh, there he is. Okay, professional football player.
Yeah, I learned that recently.
At Morehouse.
For a little while, he was playing football, and now he's made a transition to another career that makes a lot of money, and then he's son of Denzel, so he's got nothing to worry about. But I always do appreciate when he's in a movie.
Okay. TMJ, Lifetime Consumer Reports, and
Dinner with Blake Shelton.
Okay. I'm going to give the TMJ right away.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to give that to Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, interesting.
Now,
why?
She's never seen hardship, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to give her a lot to work with, a lot to write about. And she'll have to translate it into something that I guess tweens will connect with. You know, the universal pain of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The specifics of it will be a challenge for her, I think, to write about. But I just feel like, you know, it's at this point, after coming up through the Disney system, knowing incredible stardom prior to her Saturn Returns, it'll just be a moment that will help her transform and mature into the woman that we all can't
need her to be.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
What will she be coming down from the sky in at her sellout stadium tours, you know?
Maybe like a giant mouth guard. She's like lying in it, kind of.
Ooh, okay. Pitch for you. So we'll ice it. It'll be in the shape of a mouth guard, right?
Okay.
The teeth like a tooth tray.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fill it with water, ice it, and then we're going to do dancing and ice skating on top of it. We can throw back and we can do, you know how Beyonce does the water work in the like tea. At her last concert, she had water work. Do you know? It was like dancing in the rain, and she was
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And we've seen Taylor recently do that just with God's elements, right? So in Nashville. But so that's why I think that.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
Okay. Aida Turturro, I'm going to give the Consumer Reports. It just feels like it really, truly would be the perfect gift for her. Like just something to complain about, you know, a place to constantly find things wrong with things and be able to vent. Doesn't she seem like the person who would like write a great like paragraph like, this is bullshit?
I would love Janice Soprano to be doing Consumer Reports.
This is bullshit. This iron, I can't even do it. I push on the tiny little thing with my middle finger and it squeaks. It wakes up my husband and I got to get him a beer, you know, like this whole thing, right? So maybe she does that and then has like a career change. I don't know. I feel like it would give her a lot of ammo for her life, a place to vent during the strike, you know, while she's not working, and just maybe some struggles with the internet, trying to figure out how to set up her subscription, try to cancel the print magazine or like forward it to a friend. Like all of that would give her a lot of ammo. It's
busy work.
Yeah, busy work.
Something to do with her hands.
Yes, exactly. We all need to find our own fingers' truth, right? Okay. And then John David Washington will be sitting down for dinner with Blake Shelton.
Mr. Blake Shelton.
I feel like that would be quite the conversation. Right?
What would they have possibly to talk about?
I don't know.
I can't imagine sitting at dinner with Blake Shelton. Oh, maybe football is. Those two would probably. I feel like Blake's got to be a football fan.
So The Voice was coming out at the same time that Best Friends Forever was my first television show was launching. And I had to go to like one of those NBC Universal like upfront like season kickoff parties.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica and I had been in our writer's room all day, and she got insane food poisoning, and I had to send her to the urgent care when they ended up giving her like fluids and stuff. It was like that bad. But that meant I had to go by myself to this dinner, and we were not used to doing, well, I wasn't used to doing press, period.
Right.
Much less press by myself about our show. I got hair and makeup ready at our writer's room office while Jessica was like on the floor of the bathroom. It was just like one of those insane days. You know, it's like where you feel like, oh, my dreams are coming true, but also this is so hard. And I get in the car and I go to whatever house or mansion or whatever the place is. And I walk in and now I feel beautiful. I had on like a cute dress, it was sexy. I had my hair and makeup done. It's been a minute. I walk in and who do I see? Blake Shelton. And he gave me an up and down once over. Now this is when he was with Miranda. And literally I felt like if I wanted to, he would have taken a bite out of me presently in whatever stall we could find empty, and I could throw it all away for one night with BS. Anyway, I kept moving, obviously. My life is not, I'm not currently married to Blake Shelton.
Not yet.
not after this story. And and I sent Jessica photos of the Alaskan king crab legs and the giant like seahorse ice sculpture, you know, which is obviously what you want to get a photo of while you're in the throes of food poisoning. But, you know, now that Blake has finished his voice residency because he's he just had his last season.
Oh, he did. I didn't know that.
Okay. I always watch the only the auditions.
I imagine it gets boring after that,
I never get past the auditions, yeah. And so I guess he's probably got some time on his hands.
Yeah, he's probably doing it like us, going to a lot of dinners, lunches just trying to catch up with
like
people.
What he wears, you know?
Right.
What does he wear to a lunch?
Putting too much on, too little.
Is he wearing a cowboy hat?
Right.
Probably not. Just wearing like a denim shirt, right?
Yeah, kind of like a well-tailored denim shirt.
Yes, yes, and a scruff. Now, he is also exactly the same age as me, and that is feels weird to me.
Does he feel a lot older to you?
He feels a lot older to me.
Why is that?
I don't know. And he also keeps, especially on The Voice, because I am a fan. I'll say it once and I'll say it again. It feels like he references how old he is.
Oh,
he's like, you know, like Kelly Clarkson, who also is not that much younger than us.
She's probably in her 40s, like
gotta be right. She'll go, okay, old man, you know, and then he's like, I'm an old daddy, you know, and it's like,
no, he's simply not.
He's not a grandpa. Okay, grandpa. And it was like, it puts me in my head a little bit.
Of course.
Anyway. So I feel like they would, I mean, this is a Nepo baby.
I'd like a Nepo baby, though.
That sounds better to
that
me.
That sounds like a Tamagotchi or something, yes. Like a little toy
yes.
pet you would buy.
Adidas,
here's
Nepo.
Our Nepo baby.
Yeah. So I feel like this Nepo baby and Blake, well, they probably might just talk about football the whole time.
They're probably guys. They probably, then they can move on to another sport.
Yeah, they just talk about beer but maybe if the two of these guys sit down, it'll all get figured out. You know
Everything.
What I mean? Everything. All of it.
These
and then they'll
meet.
Let us know, and then they'll come out and be like, guys, we figured it out. And then we can just all live in peace after that.
They both have dinner at Wood Ranch and solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
Well, beautifully played. Really beautifully
Thank
played.
Thank you so much. Did I win?
You win.
Thank you. It's important to me. I'm incredibly competitive.
This is the final segment of the podcast. It's called I Said No Emails. People write into isaidnogifts@gmail.com. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Desperate for answers. Will you help me answer a question?
I love it. I love it.
Let's get into this. Let's see here. This is Hi Bridger and Sparkling Guest. That's a nice way to introduce you. I'm facing a situation that could use your wisdom. Recently, my cousin started working at the same company as me. While we have a close relationship, I've noticed some behaviors of hers at the office that I find uncomfortable, i.e. discussing personal matters loudly on the phone and oversharing about our family. To complicate matters, she's only been here for 4 months and is already giving extravagant gifts to coworkers for birthdays. It's nice, but it seems to be creating a bit of unease among our colleagues who aren't sure how to receive lavish presents from someone who's basically a stranger. How do I handle this before she makes us both office pariahs? And that's from Anders or Anders. That would probably be an Anders, right? Okay, so Anders' cousin, he probably helped the cousin get the job. Kind of a Napo.
Unless they live in like a town with only one company.
Factory.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's an office.
Right. So
that's interesting.
Maybe it was just by coincidence that she got a job there. But
I don't. Honestly, it feels to me like this is not your problem, not your circus, not your monkeys, as they say, right?
But it is.
But why?
Because he's built, obviously, he's probably built a reputation at the company as cool Anders.
Yes.
And suddenly cousins marching in, revealing family secrets.
About him specifically?
Oversharing about our family.
Yeah, but like, doesn't that just only reflect negatively on the weird cousin? Like the cousin's the one blabbing, right? Like maybe he just needs to act like he doesn't know her. You know what I mean? Like they're not there. Oh yeah, we're cousins, but like you know, like cousins.
Like we didn't really
like we're not
see
really
each
cousins.
Other growing
like
up.
Yeah, cousin or whatever. Like because someone once told me, let the bad ideas die on their own.
Oh.
So I have a hard time with that because if I see a bad idea, you could tell it on my face and I have a hard time faking it with you or letting you, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a, I don't like this idea. And this is all the reasons that are wrong with it. But a lot of times you could just back off and then let the person and the bad idea just crumble because it inevitably this is going to end poorly. And likely the cousin is going to, right, be out
be
of there
fired.
Pretty soon.
I mean, especially
or
if
get
Anders
a stern talking to. And the closer they are together, the worse it is for Anders, you know? So Anders needs
don't
to
be an accessory.
No, don't try to intervene. Don't yes and that behavior. Don't also then talk shit about the cousin with other employees.
You don't think you should do that? That feels like a good strategy to me.
Shit talk the cousin, but then you're still related. You're going to see them forever and be giving them fudge. Right?
Yeah, but something has to be done. And it feels like if you turn the office on her.
I'm saying the opposite. Nothing needs to be done.
Just let her turn the office on.
I know this is incredibly uncomfortable for you, Anders. Just pay attention to the balls in your court. And if one comes over, just toss it right back. A gentle return.
That's a very mature way of handling this, I
think. So what are you saying? You're saying, let's go. Go to bat. What a bitch. Right? Can you believe she gave you that gift? What did she give you? Like a series of monthly pantyhose or something? Like
what a moron.
Extravagant jewelries.
We all hate her, right?
Yes, yes.
Who brought this lady in?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I feel like you get on Slack. You're typing into your coworkers.
Another technology that I was out of
the office space after Slack appeared, so it feels like a very foreign thing to me.
Yeah.
But people, I guess
so
I was
much Slack drama.
G-chatting when I was at office jobs, and I imagine that's similar. But get on Slack. Say whatever you want about the cousin.
Just make up a fake account. A fake account with a different email. Mm-hmm. Get a like Tony Noodle or something. Tony Noodle at AOL.com.
Even more.
Yeah, and start a Tony Noodle Drums TikTok, okay? And then you just get to start posting on Slack like this bitch, like crazy Tony Noodle posts like anonymously to stir it up. Okay.
While air drumming to Don't Cry Out Loud. Yes.
Is there any drums to that?
There should be now. There should be a nasty drum solo
Just goes too hard. Can we get a Bon Jovi cover of Don't Cry Out Loud that goes way too hard?
I think that, I think that's a nice strategy. That'll take care of things one way or the other.
Yeah.
It'll be something for everyone to talk about.
Either one of these options, Anders. One's maybe more fun and would fill the time.
Right.
One you have to get TMJ clenching your jaw in order to experience and sit through.
And then co-write an Olivia Rodrigo song.
Yeah.
She reaches out to you. I need someone who's actually experienced. I'm doing my Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Yes.
That part people will sing along to. The verses will be very dark about your
very
teeth grinding.
Dark.
What's happening at night?
About lockjaw.
Well, we answered Anders' question perfectly. We pray he doesn't write back in.
Oh.
But you never know with these
Fingers
people.
Fingers crossed.
I'm going to delete the email so we don't have to ever think about it again. Wonderfully answered.
Thank
These
you
gifts are
as
wonderful.
Well.
A beautiful piano
I'm
book.
Glad.
So stylish. And this fudge is going to, I'll probably eat myself sick.
Don't do that. Spread it out. It's not going to go bad anytime
How
in the next 6 months. I don't know. It doesn't have any like egg or butter in it.
Right. It's very like.
Very processed.
Like nuclear bunker foods.
Yeah, probably.
Like 50s ingredients.
I mean, I don't know about. Yeah, margarine, it's vegetable
oil. 2 to 3 weeks at room temperature.
Oh.
But is that this kind of fudge? Fantasy fudge, it's called? Is it fantasy fudge or is it regular fudge? Like Bavarian fudge shops where you...
What's
Rocky
that place that's only about that
mountain or whatever. Oh my God.
I do not... That is... I'm now thinking that's a front. I've never seen somebody buy
from
Rocky
there.
Mountain. They're only at outlet malls.
They are. You're right.
And they're constantly full of apples. Those must be rotting.
Dipped in chocolate or caramel. Yeah. Or
they don't
caramel.
Have good turnover there.
Anyway, why are you like going to buy like an off?
Yeah, rent? 2 to 3 weeks.
Two to three weeks?
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, room temperature,
okay, I'm sorry,
original
I
wax
questioned
paper.
You.
Okay, I've got 3 weeks to eat the fudge. Begin the countdown. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much
Thank
for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been a treat and a treasure.
Listener, the podcast is screeching to a halt. We came in with a bang. We're leaving with a bang. The rest of your day is going to be so dull without me. I wish you the absolute best. Good luck. I love you. Goodbye. I Said No Gifts is an Exactly Right production. It's produced by our dear friend Annalise Nilsson, and it's beautifully mixed by Ben Tolliday. And we couldn't do it without our guest booker, Patrick Kottner. The theme song, of course, could only come from miracle worker Amy Mann. You must follow the show on Instagram at I Said No Gifts. I don't want to hear any excuses. That's where you get to see pictures of all these gorgeous gifts I'm getting. And don't you want to see pictures of the gifts?
Well, I invited you here. Thought I made myself perfectly clear. When you're a guest in my home, gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is present enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey me?
Follow I Said No Gifts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I really don't care. Just don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, rate and review the show. It's the least you can do. It really is. It's the bare minimum. Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase I Said No Gifts merch. What a wonderful way to support the show. Support the show!